Our text for this Transfiguration Sunday is from our epistle reading from 2 Peter, and we have something more sure. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the experience that Peter, James, and John had there on the Mount of Transfiguration, that experience they had there must have been overwhelming. I mean, there was Jesus talking with Moses and with Elijah. There was Jesus being called the beloved Son of God, with whom the Father was well pleased. There was Jesus shining like the sun, his clothes becoming white as light. What an experience! What an experience Peter, James, and John had there on the Mount of Transfiguration. How must they have felt? What must they have thought? What type of meaning would it have for those around Peter and James and John when they eventually would hear about it? I mean, for the rest of their lives. Did their fellow Christians around them point at them and say, "There are the three. There are three before whom Jesus Christ was transfigured, declared to be the Son of God. There are the three who saw Moses and they saw Elijah." Wow! So memorable experiences. So memorable experience for us, for ourselves and for those to whom we relate those experiences around us. I mean, we've all had them, haven't we? Something so amazing, something so special, something so unique which makes us, for those around us, well, special. For that is what such experiences do, right? Those experiences, they make us unique. They make us different. They make us extraordinary. Why? Well, most other people haven't had the same experience that we did they? No, that experience is ours. It's ours alone, belonging to no one else. And when others hear about it, well, what do they think? If only that thing had happened to us. If only we had had that experience. Social media, it's all about that, isn't it? Social media, all about that. About people telling millions of other people what they are experiencing. And in that experiencing, proclaiming how special, how unique, how extraordinary they are. And of course, those following such people on social media, what they think? Look at that restaurant they're in the Bahamas. Look at that food they're eating. Look at that drink. It has two umbrellas in it, not just one. Look at those people they're with. They're so good looking. Look at the Bahamas. What an experience they're having. Look at the experience they're having. And me, well, me, I'm not. Well, at least they're showing me their experience. Social media is all about that, isn't it? Sharing the experiences we're having. And what could be better? What could be better than a memorable experience? What could be better? Well, the Apostle Peter, who was actually there on the Mount of Transfiguration, who experienced the transfiguration of Christ on the Mount there, the Apostle Peter, who saw Moses and he saw Elijah, he tells us that there's something better. There's something better than even an experience. Better than the experience that he and James and John had on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that is, that thing that is better, is the Word of God. It's having the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Yes, having the Word of God and hearing the Word of God is better than an experience, even the experience of the transfiguration of Jesus. Why? Because it's more sure. Being as it is breathed out by the Holy Spirit through the prophets and the apostles and the evangelists, recorded for us to read again and again and again throughout our lives. But we know that, don't we? We know that something written down is more sure, more reliable, more permanent than any experience. Sure, the devil would have us disregard such written things and tempt us to experience this and experience that as the ultimate thing. I mean, to experience something is really the best thing to do, right? To experience it? Well, not if the experience is traumatic. Not if the experience causes nightmares for years to come. Not if the experience fundamentally changes how we look at the world and those around us and does so for the worse. And then there's this. Our hypocrisy. Yes, our hypocrisy when it comes to experiences. For with the really important experiences in our lives, what do we do? We write them down, don't we? We write them down, certainly for legal experiences and financial experiences. We document them meticulously with contracts. For medical experiences, we document them with form after form after form after form. For day-to-day experiences, experiences that we want to remember, experiences that we want to preserve so that we don't forget them ever, we document in journals. How more hypocritical can we be if, on the one hand, we declare that we must have some experience of God, that we no longer want just to hear the Word of God or to read the Word of God or to contemplate the Word of God, but then, on the other hand, we insist that any important experience in our lives we have, we must document. We must write down. We must put into words. So we learn in confirmation class, small catechism, third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we may not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So let's repent of our hypocrisy here. And what is more, acknowledge that the Word of God is more than just a record of what happened long ago, like some sort of religious journal of some sort, kept by a handful of men called apostles and prophets and evangelists. But it is instead the Word of God. It's a lamp shining in a dark place, meaning our hearts. It's a sword of the Spirit penetrates within us, the power of God. Unto salvation for all who believe. A new day dawning in our hearts as we hear again in the Word of God that our sins are forgiven, our sins of hypocrisy. And the Holy Spirit comforting us by means of the Word we can in our sin despise. The Holy Spirit comforting us can be just as if a star suddenly appears in our hearts. And we realize that it's God Himself who's speaking to us through His Word, causing the prophets, the apostles, and evangelists to speak to us through whom He had that word written down. So it is through the Word of God that we experience Jesus. It's through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit would cause us to believe what we are told and grasp that, yes, our sins are indeed forgiven. Yes, God, our Heavenly Father, does indeed not just love His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus, but God, our loving Heavenly Father, He loves us. He loves us. And yes, when we struggle and strain with problems of life, it's not for our detriment, but for our betterment, for our improvement. So the incident we read about in the Gospel of Luke, the woman who, hearing the teaching of Jesus Christ, is so overwhelmed and so could only conclude that Jesus' mother was something very special for having had Jesus as a child. What an experience that must have been for Mary. Mary, to have this wonderful kid who grew up into this wonderful teacher, and so she cries out to Jesus, what? Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But Jesus responded, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So our worship here at Prince of Peace, our worship is based upon hearing the word of God. And it's based upon hearing the word of God because hearing the word of God is the way by which the Holy Spirit works, how he works in our hearts. So we sing hymns to each other, as we already have this morning, that contain the word of God. And we repeat verses to each other in the scripture verses, in the liturgy. We sing the word of God as it's recorded for us in the Psalms. And then we hear the word of God read to us from the Old Testament and the New Testament in the epistle reading. And then as the gospel is announced, we stand. We stand in honor of the great gift that we receive when the gospel of Jesus Christ is read to us. And we once again hear how in Christ there is the forgiveness of sin. In Christ there is life, true life, real life. In Christ there is our eternal salvation and in no one else. What a wonderful gift. We could say then that we do not come to worship our Lord and Savior, to experience our Lord and Savior in some sort of glorious transfiguration, but we do come to worship on Sunday morning so that through that very Word of God, which we hear and we learn and we inwardly digest, we ourselves in Christ are transfigured. We are transfigured. We are transfigured. All Scripture is breathed out by God, we read in 2 Timothy. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for preaching and teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, certainly wants us, his brothers and sisters, children of God, to be competent. And he wants us to be equipped for every good work. For this reason, we, through his word, are trained in righteousness. The Holy Spirit helping us, as we read in John 14, the words of Christ to his disciples, to us. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you. So this explains why at the baptism of Jesus, what is heard from heaven, the voice of the Father speaking to the Son, the Father saying to the Son, you are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Everybody heard that, but it was the Father speaking to the Son. But then on the Mount of Transfiguration, did you notice? It's the disciples themselves. It's Peter, James, and John. It's you and me who are addressed by our Father in heaven through his word. Did you catch what he said there? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. That's what he says there. He's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. Noteworthy is that the Father does not tell us how great his Son is, as if he would say, this is my beloved Son, isn't he great? And isn't this mountain that I made, isn't it wonderful? Good view, right? Isn't this experience here at the Transfiguration literally out of this world? I mean, that's what you're going to have when you follow Jesus, just one mountaintop experience right after another. No, that's not what the Father says. What the Father says to us at the Transfiguration of his Son, Jesus, is this: listen to him. He talks directly to us. Listen to him. Why? So that we ourselves will be transformed. We ourselves will be changed. We ourselves will be transfigured. As grasping our Savior Jesus in the arms of faith, truly believing that what he has done for us in his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension has brought to us new life. New life every day. in him, listening to Jesus, the very word of God daily. The day dawns within us, the morning star rising in our hearts. As in the light of Christ, we ourselves are enlightened to see the world around us in a whole new way. Amen. Now may the peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise.